ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, November 6th, 2018. If you live in the United States, make sure you go out and vote today. It's that type of day. Dwayne, how you doing?
Doing well. Vote correctly, too. Whatever that means.
Whatever that means, you know, for you. Means. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my Canada scarf. I'm wearing a Canada t-shirt because the U-20s play today for Canada versus Panama in their most important game in this CONCACAF Championship group stage number one. So we'll keep an eye on this, and tomorrow we'll have it, a breakdown of it, on our Two Solitude Soccer podcast for patrons only at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. But Dwayne, I wanted to start the show today to talk about a news that came out of Montreal yesterday. Adam Braz, technical director of the Montreal Impact, and the Montreal Impact have decided to mutually part ways, and now the search for a new technical director actually starts. And before we get into this conversation, Dwayne, it's important to realize, too, that Rémi Garde's job description is manager and player personnel director. So I guess there was a breach of trust or breach of communication earlier this year between the technical staff and Adam Braz. But, yeah, and it's interesting news out of Montreal.
It's always a weird fit. Adam Braz, who sort of got fired up, you know, was or fired sideways anyway a few years ago. Like, it never really made sense to me, the arrangement that was had there. Obviously, there's a long history between Braz and the Impact and management there.
Yeah, but no, I think you're mistaking with Braz with the DeSantis. Those are two different.
Sure, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I apologize. Yeah, but still, it was a weird fit.
Yes,
though,
well,
I think.
Here's Adam Braz's story over the last few years. At the beginning of the Montreal Impact in Major League Soccer, Adam Braz was equipment manager for the Montreal Impact. He left for a little bit more than a year to be a real estate agent, and then came back as technical director in 2014. So in a salary cap league with a lot of weird rules, always thought it was a bit of a weird appointment. He stayed 4 years, did some good things, some bad things, especially this year. If you look at the bad contracts that the Montreal Impact did give over the last 2 years, the amount, the millions of dollars wasted on contracts. Yeah, I think it goes with what Joey wants to do next year, especially when Joey Saputo said earlier this year, we need to take a look at contracts, and we need to take a look at the amount of my money that's been wasted.
Yeah, and look, if you're bringing Rémi Garde in, you've got to give him the keys to the castle, in my mind. This is a, you know, don't split it up the middle, don't get cute. I know that Joey, for all of his faults, one of his both strengths and faults, really, is his loyalty. And he's loyal to people, maybe to a fault, as I just said, for too long. And I think Braz might have, like, it's kind of a weird combination. How often do you go from equipment manager to GM, right? It's essentially what he was. And that's just, it's odd. Nonetheless, Adam Braz, of course, one of a handful of players that have played on both sides of the Canadian derby, Two Solitudes Derby Day side there, very briefly for Toronto, but a unique sort of playing history, famous in Canadian soccer circles, since we are talking about a Canadian national team today, for a photograph in which he's completely engulfing Freddie Adu. So that's kind of fun. Search that one out if you want. But I think it's the right move. And I wonder, from his perspective, he said mutually part ways. There is suggestions that there, you know, there might be a group ready to step forward in the Canadian Premier League in Quebec. Wonder where they're at, with his connections in Quebec football, might be looking to get into that, and probably saw the writing on the wall as well.
Well, yes, and he was offered another job. He was offered a different administrative type of job, and he did not want to take it. And he would rather want to leave his post. So we'll wish him good luck in his future endeavor, as they say in the business world. We'll see if he stays in the world of soccer, because I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to maybe being a real estate agent or something in that vein. I wouldn't be surprised. But for Montreal, I think it's a positive move. I think Montreal and the Montreal Impact, Joey Saputo, president of the Montreal Impact, which this decision comes from, I think it's a good realization that's where the Impact are right now. And you know, if I'm them, if I'm the Impact, you know who I bring back? I go knock on Houston Dynamo's door. And I was like, hey, Matt, technical director of the Houston Dynamo, Matt Jordan, former great goalkeeper for Montreal. How you doing? Come back home.
Maybe. Yeah, it's a funny thing. You could ask the question whether we're in an era now, and we're seeing this across the world of football. Like, even a guy like Pep doesn't carry both hats, right? He's not primarily responsible for the recruitment and signing of players. He's a major role when you're talking about someone of that stature. But across the board in football, we're seeing that almost more traditional North American model where you have GM and you have manager and they have separate roles. And whether or not that's the way to go is the question, or whether you want to go with the more traditional football model of one guy that's king of it all, right? And certainly you could go both ways in Montreal and see an argument for both. But I think in MLS, it kind of really is important at the very least to have someone who is cap focused, money focused, because it is complicated. If you're a manager trying to figure out your formations and your starting lineups, do you really want to be thinking about like how much money you should be spending on a left back?
Yeah, and how much money you have, and how do you make it work, and what are the rules of this league again, and what are they different than 2 weeks ago? And a capologist or a cap specialist is what now a lot of teams are using as well. So this is what Tim Bezpachenko was, right? Before becoming technical director or GM of Toronto FC, that's what he was known for. So, no, exactly. Montreal needs to find their own Tim Bezpachenko. And hopefully this doesn't hurt or doesn't delay the search for a striker, the search for a high-end attacking midfielder that the Impact have been openly saying they need and they're trying to get in the off season. And you know, in the words of Rémy Gallant from last week, it's interesting when he mentioned, when would you like to bring him? Would you like to bring him in the off season, this off season, or in the middle of the season? Like, I'll bring him whenever I can. You know, ideally, it would be in the off season in January, because then you just include him in the group and you have the training camp and he gels with the club and he understands his role and you can build off of it. But if I have to wait, I'll wait. But hopefully I bring him sooner rather than later. Hopefully this decision doesn't delay anything.
Yeah, we're in that strange period of time where clubs can actually still train, and some of them do. So they could potentially bring anyone over now. But the thing is, you know, if you want to bring someone of the quality that I suspect you want, you're going to need to wait till the window reopens. So January is going to be what it is. And January is fine. It's a long off season in Major League Soccer. We're not used to it in Toronto or Montreal in the recent past. We've had very short off seasons. This one's going to be a very long off season. So lots of time when you have a long off season, that means something went wrong and you should probably take that time to fully evaluate anything and not jump to too quick of conclusions. You find the right search, the right fit, because, you know, you can't stress this enough. You can find talent. It is easy. Even some people that are sort of rank amateurs can pick out talent and say, you know what, you'd be a good MLS striker. That's not that hard of a task. What is a hard task is picking out talent that you also, through your own research, know is going to fit in over here, is going to want to come here, is going to come here in the right numbers. There's a lot going on there, as we just said. So get this hire right this month, and then you focus on that recruitment period in December and into January, when that's when most of the world's looking for those things anyway. So that January window is going to be key.
And I think it's interesting, too, how last offseason, Joey Saputo spent a lot of money on the coaching staff, on Henri Miguel and the coaching staff. And there was rumors along the year that they didn't get along too much, Joey Saputo and Henri Miguel. We don't know if those are funded or not, but what's interesting, too, now is with this decision, I feel it's like trusting Rémy Gallant. Say, okay, you know, well, I've seen you coach, I've seen you manage. There was a difference of opinion of where the club should go and what type of player I can bring in, Rémy Gallant versus Adam Braz. So this decision, for me, it's almost Joey Saputo taking side with Rémy Gallant. Say, okay, you know what? I've seen what you could do. I've seen the progression of this team this year. I've seen your training tactics. I've seen the players progress, and I've seen how they talk about your work. So you got the keys to the castle, and I'm going to find someone that can work with you maybe a bit better for this cap specialty type of technical director. You're still going to be director of player personnel, which is basically he chooses the player he wants. He tells his GM, get me this player or this player. This is my list. This is my shopping list. go to the grocery store for me and make it happen. I don't know how to use that credit card. You guys do, so you make it happen. This is what basically the type of job that Montreal Impact are looking for.
Yeah, no, exactly. Someone with MLS experience there. I mean, it is complicated in Montreal, obviously, because there is a community element to it, so you'd want maybe someone who can speak the language as well. But that said, you have a face and other faces out there, yeah, so I think you just have to hire the best person.
Yeah, the entire training staff can talk to the media, and Samuel Piat and a few others. Like, the French part for the Impact is not a problem anymore, just because of the coaching staff itself is mostly French, and Rémi Garde is one of the most, I would say, well-spoken coach I've ever talked to in my life. And just when he answers your question, he licks you in the eye, and he even when he doesn't answer your question, he answers your question. So I always enjoyed being in a Rémi Garde press conference for those reasons. And you know, he's player personnel director, he can talk. The technical director, it's not like Adam Braz's first language is French anyways. And that's what's really important, I think, for the club, is get the best candidate you can get. Doesn't matter if he speaks French or English or he knows Montreal or not. It's not about the city. It's about the club to an extent, but it's about what you can do. How can you work with the coaching staff and the director of player personnel? Can you align your, I don't want to say ambitions, but can you align the mentality of what type of player you want to get? And can you get those players? So this is what basically they're needed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to speak for Montrealers, but my impression, I have as a long-time observer of Montreal sports fans, is that they don't care whether their managers speak French when they get there. They care that they respect the language and they try their best to communicate to the best of their ability while they're there. That's more of the issue that I've always seen.
Yeah, if you show you can start to look at Jesse Marsh back in 2012. He actually learned French, and by the time he got fired, he could like do interviews in French. So I guess that's what Montreal needs. And there's no problem with Rémi Garde. Speaks very good French. French.
Parisian.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaks very good English and other languages too, being in the game for so long. And no, exactly. So we'll see where this leads the Montreal Impact. But a big decision, a big announcement that we were not expecting necessarily. But with hindsight, looking at Joey Saputo's quotes over the last few months, it all makes sense. And it was probably a decision that was taken a few months ago.
And good luck to Adam Braz, as you said, if he's got his realtor capabilities there. That area around Saputo, it's starting to get a little hipster-like, so there might be some good good sales opportunities there for him, too.
Oshlaga, yeah, that's weird. Oshlaga being hipster, yeah, exactly. Gentrification of Oshlaga, yeah, exactly. All right, let's move to the U-20s today. Canada U-20 versus Panama for top of the group.
Yeah, this is all the marbles here. If you missed this format real quickly, there is no room for error, really. Only the top team from these six groups will move on. Panama and Canada are the 1 and 2 seeds in this group. They're both undefeated heading into this game. Panama has a slight advantage based on the goal differential because Guadalupe's keeper stood in his head. Canada only won the second game 2-1. So basically, Canada can afford a draw today, but ideally they win. If they win, then they just have to close out against the smaller nations that they have yet to play, which is Martinique and St. Kitts, I believe, off the top of my head. If they were to do that, with a win today, they will advance to a round where they would have a very good chance to go to Poland. Very likely, if it goes chalk, it would be they would play Mexico, and that would be tough, but then they would have a one-game shot against either Guatemala or El Salvador, which you would think would be a winnable game. Yeah. So that would be an opportunity for them, but it all starts today at 5:15 p.m.
And this is the first group of six. The winner of each group goes into two groups of three. The winner of that group of three, which is like the second group stayed round, goes into the final to play each other, but the top two of each group qualifies for the U-20 World Cup. So there's going to be four qualifiers outright with this CONCACAF Championship to the U-20 World Cup. And it's been a while. Canada hasn't gone there. And this tournament and the Olympic tournament, which will come in 2 years' time, a little less than 2 years.
Probably about a year, about 14 months.
Yeah,
probably.
14 months now. Yeah. So the Olympic qualifier and the U-20 World Cup are the tournaments that really gives you a good idea where the young crop, where the next generation, where this country or any country stands in the hierarchy of football, 5 years after. So that's why it's important. We want Canada to be in 2022, in 2026, obviously. And the best way for their experience level to get the kinks out of emotions or the big stage and the big limelight, and not that a limelight is that big in the U20 World Cup, but the Olympics is the Olympics, so it does help your confidence and your experience level. So we want Canada to go back to those levels.
Yeah, no, precisely. I think the Olympic team, they will take far more seriously. I suspect you'll see in Alphonso Davies, especially if he's not getting as much playing time as you would like. I suspect you'll see him in. I'll expect you'll see
Ballou.
David. You'll see Ballou. You'll see a top team for that Olympic qualifier, which again is more than a year away now. It's in Costa Rica, by the way, if you're looking for a nice little trip. This one is being in Florida right now. If you don't know, the World Cup is in Poland. It has been 11 years since Canada participated in a U7 or U20 World Cup, the 07 World Cup, which of course was held in Canada. So they were there as hosts, did not win a game, did not score a goal. Dale Mitchell. They did qualify for 2005. So that would be the last time they qualified. So we're well overdue. 13 years since they last qualified for an under-20 tournament. They've had some real bad performances too. They didn't look particularly spectacular against Guadeloupe, but they didn't play their best lineup. And the keeper did have a remarkable game for Guadeloupe. So we'll cross our fingers today. This is a big one for this group, which is, as I said, they have taken the risk of not trying to get their best players released for this, which is in line with how most major federations would do this.
Yeah.
So let's go. Let's hope. Because if they get to the U20, if they go to Poland, you know, it's on FIFA dates. So there's no point not taking your best lineup at that point.
No, exactly. And if you look at the Samuel Piet, the Ballou, Piet is a bit too old now. But if you look at Ballou, at Davies, they're getting ready now for the November CONCACAF Nations League game. And they're getting ready to leave. Actually, they were ready to leave last Saturday. So the camp is going to start any day now for the next Champions League game and Nations League game, sorry. And we'll see the progression of that too. Just before we move to the Champions League and we finish the show, Dwayne, today, we haven't talked about this, but the USL Cup final is decided. It's going to be Louisville City Football Club versus Didier Drogba and the Phoenix Rising. Didier Drogba could pull a Raul and finish his career raising a Division II trophy in North America.
Yeah, look, it's a great story. We've got the defending champions in back there as well. So, and a great program that, and you know, that kind of a perfect market for USL, I think, too. In Louisville, they're probably a little too small for MLS, or we haven't certainly seen them talking about or being talked about for expansion anyway. But they built a nice little thing there, you know, sort of done what they can with what they have, and made the kind of nice little culture around that. They're the defending champions, and obviously the Drogba angle makes this get not just attention across North America, but hell, they talked about it on Football Ramble this week. So
yeah, that's a Drogba effect. It's not because the game is that compelling, I guess.
Yes, they first explained what USL was, and then they I'll say this. This is what they said at Football Ramble. If you don't listen to it, Football Ramble was better when they were less serious, but I still listen to it. Now they're, you know, they've dropped the jokes and ramped up the analysis, and I'm not sure they're as good as when they were just jokes. But anyway, that's my little side there. But they said, you know, it's pretty impressive because even though it's just US, it's just D2 in the United States, it is pretty athletic there. So they're impressed that Drogba can still keep up with all that running in the soccer.
Well,
so
what they don't know is Drogba didn't play half the game during the regular season. There was a World Cup and there was events and things where Drogba traveled around the world to do. And he's not there when a cold Tuesday night in Louisville, Drogba's not there, but he's there for the USL Cup final, and he's there for the playoffs, and he did score a few screamer goals this year too.
Yeah, he scored a goal in the semifinals, well, in the Western final, if you prefer. So that's how they set it up on Football Ramble. They said Drogba won another trophy, and well, sort of,
but it's kind of it's a conference trophy, but yes, there's pictures of him with that trophy, I guess.
So there you go. It's certainly, I think that the play there has more to do with him being part of an ownership group in a potential MLS team. But nonetheless, it is nice to see him finish it out there. He always say this when, you know, Montreal fans obviously know him well. In MLS, he didn't mail it in, and maybe he's just at a point where his body can't handle every day, so he's just doing it the smart way this year. Certainly seeing him run around Russia having a good time made you wonder how much he was committed to Phoenix, but here we are on the business end of the season and into a final. So good for Phoenix, good for Louisville. That game is Sunday, correct? So you can watch that on the YouTubes if you wish.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if actually Phoenix wins, just because big moments, big games like this, Drogba's been known to be very influential and score a goal usually, and a few assists. Go back to 2012 and the Champions League final. And yeah, exactly. So Phoenix will win the USL Cup this year. Champions League, 8 games today, Dwayne. Red Star Belgrade, Liverpool, Monaco, Club Brugge. By the way, have you seen the statue of Mo Salah? You know, we're talking about statues that... some music over there. You're talking about statues that does not look like their owners. That Mo Salah statue is, doesn't look like Mo Salah.
I have not seen it, but I have heard about it. They said they were comparing it to the Ronaldo bust. So we'll see.
It's like, it's worse. That guy? Like, Mo Salah has a pinch. Who's that guy clean shaven? Anyways, Red Star Belgrade, Liverpool, Monaco, Club Brugge, Atletico Madrid, Dortmund, the hipsters, Clásico. What are you going to say?
So that's the game of the day right there, but yeah.
Tottenham, PSV Eindhoven, Schalke 04, Galatasaray, Napoli, PSG. That's an interesting game too. Porto, Lokomotiv Moscow, and Inter Milan, Barcelona. That's another interesting one at 3 p.m. too. So you can actually watch but all those on DAZN, and it's unfortunate that Atletico Madrid Dortmund and Inter Milan Barcelona are at the same time, but those two games are quite fascinating.
Precisely, and look, I'm looking forward to going immediately from watching the Champions League to watching U20 CONCACAF soccer. That's going to make a great juxtaposition of a day. But
you're like, why are the passes not connecting? Oh yeah, it's not the Champions League anymore.
Yeah, it's teenagers from CONCACAF, but no, it'll be fine. I'm you know, looking more forward to the latter game anyway, and we will of course talk about that again, as you said earlier, on Two Solitudes tomorrow, which you can subscribe to for $2 a month or more.
Yeah, at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. That's patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Now, Dwayne, at this point of the Champions League, it's slowly getting important. The games and the group stage, you're slowly getting a look of the group, and you know who's going to be contending for them, not going to be contending for the groups. So far, have you seen enough to, example, keep believing City is in a good form? And have you seen enough to say maybe that PSG or Barcelona are maybe contenders in this one?
Well, I'll start with City. I think that they, having lost the only game they've lost this year, the Lyon game early on, a lot of people are saying this, so this is not a unique thought, is that it's almost that kick to the backside might have been good for them. They didn't exactly tear it up against Hoffenheim in the second match, but they did look very comfortable against Shakhtar in the last match day. Of course, they play Shakhtar tomorrow. And if they get the full points out of that, I mean, in qualifying for the next round, I think I would be very shocked if they weren't able to get through after they're on 9 points. But winning the group is what matters there. And Lyon has not followed up their victory in the match day one with similar results. So City is back in the driver's seat, and you'd have to think they'll finish that group out there. The most interesting thing, I think, you know, one of the most interesting stories in all of football, period, Champions League or otherwise, is Real Madrid and whether they can get out of this funk that they're in.
Can you imagine Madrid in the Europa League? That would be awesome.
Well, they damn well better win it if they get there, basically, right? But the Europa League's got some interesting teams in it this year. Chelsea, Arsenal. Yeah, it's a lot going on down there. But
Tottenham's going to be there.
Pretty soon, I think, yeah. Tottenham, someone was joking, one of the shows I listened to today said Tottenham, they have to play the Littlest Hobo theme song when they go now because they don't have a home stadium yet. But maybe tomorrow. Anyway.
Wasn't it supposed to be ready this year? It's like, it was supposed to be ready and still not. And the owner actually had to take a new loan of like $1 billion or something to continue to pay for that stadium. That's still not done.
It's a bit of a something going on there. I mean, They need to get a home. That's I think they're still like the champ. It's funny, the top of the Premier League right now. I know we're not talking about this, but they seem like they're not playing well. But then you look at the point totals, and they're right up there with the rest of them. And what the stat is something like this is the first year time in 20 years or something that three teams have been undefeated this late in the season.
Yeah.
They've 95% of the points have been won when it's top six versus any other team in there. So it's been a completely, you know, two-tabled kind of system this year for the first time ever. But to get back to the Champions League, as I said, look, most of the favorites, that's the thing about the group stage in the last few years, is there hasn't really been a lot of drama in it. Last year, I remember commenting on this at the time that there just wasn't much going on. All the groups just kind of went to chalk, and it really wasn't until you got into the round of 16 that you started to get some drama in this competition, and that's doesn't seem to be changing much, and it really is one of those things that is fueling that, you know, those continuing rumblings under the surface about the possibility of a European Super League, which I am not an advocate for, but there are a lot of people, particularly younger people, that don't have that same. I don't want to blame the millennials for everything here, or the Gen Zs now, I guess we're almost talking about, but there is, I think, a divide in thinking when it comes to stuff like that generationally. And those that are a little older, like, are attached to the idea of the league, meaning more than you know, continental championships. But those that are younger don't think that way at all, right? They think that the Champions League is all that matters, so it would be a natural extension to go to a Super League. And when you look at that divide that's existing out there now, from a competitive standpoint, it's hard to argue that that wouldn't probably be a more compelling way to go, but it would be a shame to lose the history.
Yeah, and there's a... Because in the latest football leaks, there was talk about FIFA and the potential Super League that would exist in the UEFA, and like there's some truth to what people have been expecting to happen. There's some big clubs who would like that, and we'll see if it ever happens. But we're still a long way to a Super League, I guess, in Europe.
Oh yeah. You need to figure out some promotion and relegation into it, because
the club needs to agree, right? Like,
yeah,
there'll be clubs like Munich or United or Chelsea or City. They'd be like, okay, we want to be part of it, but we want a grandfather clause that we cannot be relegated or something, right? Because it's a lot of money, it's a lot of pressure, and I guess every club that wants to be in there will be a lobbyist in itself and will want to have their own interest be looked after.
And where do you cut it off? There's so much complication like that, right? If that's why I say you would have to have some kind of agreement across the board that there would be a way into it down the line. Maybe it's every 5 years they open it up to promotion relegation or something like that. But there would have to be something. Otherwise, you know, who would agree to be, you know, if there's 20 teams in the Super League, who's going to agree to be the 21st team? And who's that 21st team going to be? Are you going to include... Let's just think back 5 or 6 years ago. This is a topic we didn't assume we'd be on today, but think of 5 or 6 years ago. Would Liverpool have been into it? Probably not.
No,
is Spurs going to be into a league like that? Ooh. Financially, but you know, there's a lot of questions.
Atletico Madrid should be in there before Tottenham, and then you have the French league. Are the French team going to be considered as equally as the English teams? You don't want to have a Super League with 10 La Liga teams, you know? So, yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. The coefficient of all those leagues will have to be re-examined, too. Juventus, what about Ronaldo and the other team? You know, yeah, exactly. So, it's interesting.
Or AC Milan. The Milan clubs, they're on the dumps right now. But historically speaking, you would think that they would be demanding to be part of that group, right? Yeah. And it's so complicated. And to create some kind of system where you have teams coming in and out of it, I don't know how the hell you do that, because how do you it's a mess, which is why this doesn't happen. But at the same time, you understand it a little bit more. I don't know what the answer is other than just continuation of the Champions League getting bigger and bigger and pulling away and becoming more and more how people look and absorb this sport. A lot of complication there. But the soccer is so good.
Yeah.
So we will enjoy it on that level and forget about all these politics that are out there. And speaking of politics,
go vote,
folks. Go vote, for God's sakes, and vote correctly.
Yeah, it's your chance. That means. Whatever that means. Okay. Just go vote, at least. Exactly. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and we will be back tomorrow with more world of football with a soccer perspective. Until then, you can give us a follow at Soccer Today SPN and watch our live show on our Twitter feed at Soccer Today SPN. And you can contribute to the success of this show and the network by taking the pledge at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solid Two Soccer podcast. And until next time, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.